Annette for leading us with our piano playing as our fill-in for Melody. You've done quite well. We've appreciated it. And thank you for that beautiful offertory. As we get started, I want to dismiss the young people for Children's Church. I see Katie and Peter anxiously awaiting. Hold on tight. As they're departing, I do want to draw your attention to two things. There's a clipboard being passed around. If you may not know, with the wintry stuff comes cleanup, and we would love your help if you're able. There's a just to sign up for the week. Tim Rupp's the contact person. This week you'd have gotten a lot of exercise. Next week you might not, but if there's help that would be you're able to offer for snow removal, we would love it. And then Wednesday, is that right? Is Wednesday, what's New Year's? That's Tuesday, sorry. Tuesday at 5 o'clock, New Year's Eve. We're having a little New Year's Eve party here if you want to join us. Starts around 5. That's very loose. If you get here at 5, you might be one of the first, and we know. But there'll be games, food, fun, whatever you want to bring to just ring in the new year. And we'll be here till midnight, Eastern Standard Time at least. I would invite you now to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 as we talk this morning about the 12 days of Christmas. And the story begins in a very familiar place for many of you. In chapter 2 of Matthew, we read these words. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they were saying, who is he that has been born the king of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, well, of course, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you've found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went their way. And behold, the star which they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed from their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child and destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And they remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. What I find interesting is that somehow this Christmas story has gotten lost in our modern expression of Christmas. And I'm going to pull up a few pictures, so bear with me. Technology is helping me out here, or not. Well, I'm going to rely on you, Micah, to keep track of me. So I'll tell you when to move on to the next slide, all right? Don't do it yet. Okay, we're tracking, we're mentally connected. So what I find interesting is this story contrasts what is often the modern expression of Christmas in what I call the what now syndrome. Sometimes after Christmas, this might be the image of what we find. How many of you have so captivated and worn out from the activities of Christmas? Oh, it's a little pixelated. You're just exhausted. And like Randy from A Christmas Story, you have passed out amongst all the treasures of Christmas. Or you might be looking back on Christmas, lamenting some of the things that you've gotten. Next one. Now, I don't know anybody that's gotten a bounty suit from their aunt, but perhaps there's things that you've looked forward to that you might not necessarily have gotten that you want, and you've thought about it, and you've wondered, and you are perplexed because there's a gift that you've wanted, and you have not so subtly passed on to people what you wanted. Next one. Because you desperately want the official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model rifle air gun for Christmas. Or something of a rendition. And that might be your case, and you've told people, and you've hoped, and you've anticipated. Everything is built around that one culmination, and then something happens. Next one. Because even if you get what you want, there's always a possibility that things go a little unexpected. The Red Ryder BB gun has its first shot ricochet off the metal, and it somehow hits the icicle that pops you in the eye and knocks off your glasses, and things go a little crazy. And in your haste of trying to tell what happened and not get in trouble, the front door gets left open, and next picture, the Bumpus dogs infect the turkey dinner that you were waiting for, and mayhem ensues, and you find yourself at a Chinese restaurant eating Christmas duck. Now, I'm not saying that you can go back to the original site. I'm not saying that necessarily is how your Christmas has gone, but I love this story that came out in 1983 of A Christmas Story. It's one of my favorite Christmas stories because it seems to capture this nostalgic generalization of the anticipation and expectation of Christmas that has become the modern-day expression. And it's full of, like, fun nostalgia, and there's familiarity, and it's funny, and it's silly, and yet it is a far movement from what we read in Matthew chapter 2. What do we do with that contrasting depiction of Christmas? And so this morning I want to talk about that contrast and that tension, because we laugh, and I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, but or other Christmas movies that capture that anticipation and aftermath of Christmas. But there's often this sense I notice in our culture that when we get to that day, it's like, okay, what now? And I love that picture of Randy passed out with the little Zeppelin in his, and he's just covered, because I'm like imagining that was me when I was like 9. And I really like how Ralphie is anticipating that gift, because there's that sense of just waiting so expectantly, and then even if you get it, it doesn't necessarily unfold how you anticipate. And there is that sense of we get so wrapped up in that one thing that the what now overshadows what it all means. And I feel like in a sense that's what we are tempted to be sucked into at Christmas. Because what's happening in 2 days? New Year's Eve. And what do we do at New Year's Eve? How many of you already have your litany of resolutions running through your mind? How many of you are like, I am done with resolutions. I've spent 25 years of failing with these dumb things. They're for the birds. I forget it. And then secretly you have one or two in the background of your mind. Or after New Year's is over, what do we move on to next?
Clear vision.
Valentine's Day. And then after Valentine's Day, we go to St. Patrick's Day. And after St. Patrick's Day, we go to Easter. And then after Easter, well, we got to take care of our moms. And then after Mother's Day, we've got, oh, we got vacation. Summer is shortly here in Alaska. One day, and Memorial Day, and then we look forward to, well, I guess we'll do something for Father's Day, but what's that really mean? And then we just go from one to the next. And so I want to just ask us to take just a couple moments and think about Christmas and the 12 days of Christmas. And I want to talk about that. And I don't want to lament too much the aspects of Christmas that have become cultural norms and things memorable and fun, and we pass them down. But I also do want to highlight some of the ways that the Christmas season and the culture has infected and infiltrated the church. the hangover from the buildup of Christmas, that what now syndrome that tends to follow us and diminish the potential impact of what has been going on since Advent and leading up to Christmas.